Welcome to the NFHS Women in Leadership Podcast, She's Got Something to Say. I'm joined today by Becky Moran, Associate Executive Director at the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association, also known as the NIAAA. She has an extensive career in education-based athletics, and today, Becky will share her insights on how we can encourage the support of female athletics. Becky, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we'll just go ahead and get started here with the first question of what did or does your journey in sports look like?
Sure. I'll just start out as a little kid, right? I can't remember a time when we weren't outside playing, doing sports. And the first time I did something organized, I came home, they had a soccer flyer at school, and I brought it home to my mom and I said, I want to do this. And I can tell you I was one of about... not very many girls that was playing at the time. But I didn't care. I just wanted to play and kind of went from there. Did every team sports mostly, soccer, basketball, volleyball, softball, you name it. I wanted to play. I did in middle school. We only had track in the spring. So I was like, I'm going to run track, you know, just because I wanted to do something. So it was always just how can I be involved? How can I participate in sports? And that carried right on into high school. I did four different sports in high school. We actually got girls soccer my junior year of high school. So I switched from playing softball to playing soccer. It was really cool to be a part of that first team at our school, so kind of that history piece of doing that. And then I actually went on and played soccer in junior college. I really was able to start a program from scratch there too. Women's soccer just wasn't that big in the area that I grew up in. We actually got kicked out of a league once because I was a girl on a boys team and we were playing in a boys league and they had a girls league and they didn't want me there. So, you know, all the things that, you know, you hear about those journeys, but I loved participating. I loved anytime I could do anything athletically. And that transitioned right into my career. I was given an opportunity to stay on and coach at the junior college that I played at. So instead of continuing and playing two more years in college, I took that opportunity to start coaching because I knew that was kind of where my career was going to take me, and it was going to take me a lot farther than playing for two more years, and I didn't know, you know, what would come after that. And so I took the opportunity to stay on and coached, continued my degree in sports management, and from there, had an opportunity to work in high school sports and fell in love with the high school sports space on the other side, that management leadership side of the programming. And I came right out of college as an assistant athletic director at a high school. I was coaching. I was an assistant athletic director. And I spent about 20 years in high school athletic administration in Illinois prior to coming here to the NIAAA. So really it's been the recurring theme in my life as a player, a coach, an administrator, and now here as the Associate Executive Director for the NIAAA, sports has played a major role in my life.
Absolutely. That's so unique, that soccer experience, that both at the high school level and in college, that you were a part of that. That's really cool. Which I guess goes perfectly with the next question of what does it mean to you to be a woman in sports, whether that was the beginning of your career or now?
So, you know, for a long time, it was just what I did. I didn't think about it as having an impact. You know, as an athlete, I just wanted to play. I loved to participate. I didn't play for any other reason than I loved it. I wasn't trying to make some history. You know, now looking back at that, you know, there was some opportunities there throughout my playing career to do those things and but now, as I look back on my career and the role that I have now, the importance of being a role model, being an example for what women can do. And you know, when I talked a couple years ago, I was on our board of directors here with the NIAAA, and I was able to lead our Title IX initiative through marketing and all those pieces throughout that year when we hit the 50th anniversary. And you know, one of the things that has occurred to me is my mom never had an opportunity to really participate as a student athlete. I didn't know any different as a student athlete than having opportunities to participate. And my daughter knows no different now than having leadership opportunities in sport. And so I think generationally, as you start to look at what it means, that's what it means to me, is providing for others to have that opportunity that will be different from mine. And my daughter will know no different, and her daughter will know no different than what it looks like when she becomes a leader in sport. And that's the direction my daughter's going as well. So she has said she wants to be in sport, just not do what you do, Mom. So it's kind of funny, but it's really just having that and thinking about it that way is really impactful to me. And then thinking about just the the opportunity to be in the position that I'm am in now, knowing that I am the first female here at the NIAAA office in this role, and what that means to athletic administrators around our country, and how important and impactful that is to show them that anyone can sit in this seat.
Absolutely. That's, again, another unique piece to your story. And the Title IX celebrations that went on, I know we did one here at the NFHS, NIAAA, like, that was really important and good to see that we really embraced that. And it was kind of a year-long celebration of that.
Yeah, I was really thankful when our board of directors decided to do something. And then, you know, I jumped up at the opportunity to serve on that committee, and then was asked to lead that, and really just the conversations I was able to have throughout the year, the impact that I, you know, the conversations with the leaders that have come before me, the influence that they've had on me, but also in sports in general around this country, is truly tremendous, and it's not celebrated enough. And I wish that was something that was just kind of a all the time thing that we could continue to do, is celebrate the work that so many others have done to create and make opportunities for others.
Absolutely. And that's actually kind of a good segue to the next question, because I think the University of Nebraska's volleyball team did just that, continuing that conversation. So as far as how can we create a positive narrative around women's sports, that's just an example where they were able to break the world record for the largest attendance at a women's sporting event. And what do you think, you know, are ways that we can continue that momentum?
Well, I think we're seeing it right now with Caitlin Clark and the ticket prices at basketball games where she's breaking records and doing things that nobody's ever done, male, female, it doesn't matter gender, and the impact that that's having on the country, the following of women's collegiate sports. But it's also just reminding our kids that it's okay to do things that are different, right? When I talked about my beginning story and participating in athletics, not all of my friends did. It wasn't something that, you know, everyone did. I actually have had people say to me, like, why do you do that? And, you know, girls don't play sports anymore, was something that a female friend said to me in middle school, right? As we move into high school, you should stop doing those things. And, you know, I don't want anyone to ever feel like what they are doing, what they love, whatever that might be, whether it's sport, arts, fine arts, you name it, whatever somebody's interested in, they shouldn't feel like they shouldn't be able to pursue that. And so I think that changing that narrative and being intentional with normalizing whatever that is that people like to do and want to do, it's okay. It shouldn't be gendered in the fact that we shouldn't feel like we should have those same opportunities. And so it's also the publicity that comes with it. I think that, you know, the Nebraska game, now it's going to be, you know, how do we top that? How do we make it better? You know, you're starting to see other games played outside. And I just think, you know, creating that unique story, but it's athletics, so it's competitive. So we're always looking for how do we do the next best thing, and keeping that at the forefront for everyone.
Absolutely. And it's starting conversations I've seen too, like with the Taylor Swift at the Chiefs games, you know, seeing dads say, like, thank you for helping me watch the game with my daughter. Like, it's just the little things that it's just cool to see that momentum, and hopefully we can sustain that. That would be great.
Absolutely.
So then kind of, again, along the same vein here, as far as continuing this positive narrative, on the flip side, what are some of the biggest barriers, do you think, that are there for the lack of visibility that we're still seeing in women's sports?
I think, you know, when I was thinking about this question, I don't know that I could put my finger on one thing, but I truly believe it's the biggest might be an access to resources. You're still continuing to see funding differences, playing opportunities, just what's available in the spaces. I mean, even just as recently as a couple of years ago, the NCAA made news for not having equity in their weight room facilities for the Final Four tournament. So this isn't, you know, new, but I think the more that gets highlighted and spotlighted, and we continue to say that this is not okay, that those are things that are going to change. You know, and I think this kind of bleeds right into your next question. So I'm going to jump into that really and just kind of talk into like the impact of Title IX, right? And we're beyond the 50-year mark from that legislation. And yet it still is legislation that is required to ensure those opportunities, because it's not the norm, right? It's not still, you know, if you took that legislation away, what would go away with it? What opportunities for our young females would go away if that legislation didn't exist? And it's actually kind of a sad narrative that that is where we're at still 50 years later.
Absolutely. And hopefully we said that that continues to change, but there's still, I think it's important to talk about the things that are still lacking, even though there's, it's good to see the positive change. It's important to keep that voice and hopefully people hear it and those in charge can do something about it.
Yeah. And I also think that it's that there's a strongly held belief, not just by women, but of people in sport, that women should have those opportunities and females should have access and the resources and all the things that it takes to be successful doing what they love to do. And so that is also so important and so integral to this continued conversation and continued efforts. I saw something, again, it's Women's History Month, so saw, you know, you see a lot on social media right now, and I think it was in 1924, women were a very small percentage of the Olympians that were participating in the Olympics, and now it's 50%. This 2024 will be the first time that the number of participants is equal in the Olympics, which is just such a cool thing, and needs to be celebrated and needs to be shared. But it, that kind of stuff allows us to continue that strong narrative around what continues to need to happen in athletics and in really in our society. But we're talking specifically in athletic opportunities for females.
Absolutely. We saw that stat as well that we plan to put in our newsletter because that was so great to see, that representation. And hopefully, ideally down the road, like you said, the celebration is important now, but hopefully it's just kind of old hat and it makes sense. Yes. And it's always going to be a thing moving
forward. I would agree.
Great. So then shifting gear here to talk about kind of the high school experience more specifically, are there certain ways that coaches and athletic directors can kind of celebrate their athletes' strengths, fostering that confidence, sense of community that maybe they're not seeing in society?
I just think, you know, even the conversations that we have with, as a female athletic director, that I was having with all of my coaches, not just my female coaches, but more importantly with them, and how do we ensure that their student athletes feel like they can show up in a way that, you know, isn't always the most quote unquote feminine way to show up, right? They're going to come out, they're going to play hard, they're going to be intense, they're going to, you know, make faces that maybe they shouldn't make, and their picture might get taken and put on social media, and they're going, oh my God, I look so ugly. And then those are things that kids really think, right? How do we change the conversation about what it looks like to show up, what it means to compete? And again, seeing our female athletes celebrated at a higher level and our young females seeing that is certainly huge. And I think those are opportunities that we can use to share with them. But it's really about that conversation and normalizing women in sport and females in sport and little girls in sport, and that it's okay for them to be competitive. It's okay for them to have aggression in a controlled environment like that. And I think those are just, you know, that conversation that needs to continue, but needs to be had, you know, and I say continue, I don't know that it's always been had. And how do we empower our young women to feel secure in that space in doing what they're doing and not quit for the reasons of, you know, I could have very easily quit when somebody said to me, well, girls don't play sports in high school, right? You shouldn't play sports in high school, right? I didn't, you know, I was strong enough in myself. And I thank my parents for creating that environment where I felt comfortable being myself for my entire life. But not everybody has that. Not everybody is strong enough to say, oh, okay, I can keep pushing through and do things that I want to do. And, oh, you know, because I mean, especially at such that age, they're so impressionable, and having those individuals in front of them. I also think that it's ensuring that we're doing the things that it takes to have female leaders in front of them. You know, for so long, most of our teams were coached by males. And I can count on maybe one hand the number of female coaches I had throughout my career. And I played for a pretty long time, and I played a lot of different sports. And normalizing that that's what, you know, that we want to ensure and be intentional about is putting female leaders in front of our student athletes, and having those conversations with our student athletes when they're with us to say, you do these things really well. I think it would be awesome if you came back and coached after your career, you know, because it's also, you know, when somebody invites you in and identifies those traits in you and sees something in you, having somebody see that in you, you know, prior to getting on today, and this is just me being my authentic self, I'm like, I'm feeling a little bit of imposter syndrome. Like, should I be the person here talking about these things? And yes, I should, right? Absolutely. But like, that still creeps up. And, you know, I'm a 45-year-old woman who has a great support network around me to do the things I do. What about 9, 10, 12, 15, 18, 25, what are we doing to create those support networks around them and make people feel that they should be showing up and they should be doing the work?
Absolutely. You just hit on some great points. I know personally I'm expecting a little girl in April, and I've had that conversation with my husband on like ways that we can support her and make sure that whether it's athletics, whether it's the fine arts, like you said, whatever her passion is, that she knows and feels confident that she can do it. And the social media piece, that's something that my husband and I didn't necessarily grow up with in our hands at such a young age. So that's so important that we kind of begin to understand how to navigate that, because your life is out there and there's going to be things that you look at and look down on yourself possibly. So that positive narrative for sure is very important at a young age.
Yeah. And I see it. My daughter's 17, and just seeing the young lady that she's turning into and the things that she's able to do and navigate. And again, I go back to like, she knows nothing other than women being leaders in sport and seeing me grow up. And I was fortunate, she might tell you fortunate or not, to have her come to work with me a lot and just see me in the space. And actually both of my kids worked the conference with us last year. And I think it's really important, even for my son, and maybe even more importantly for my son, to see me in that light and see me doing that work to lead, and knowing that, you know, he can also surround himself with a strong female and do those things, and that's normal, right? So, and I think, like you said, having those conversations with your husband about how do we do this together to raise that strong, confident young woman, and it takes all of us. It's not just parents, it's not just coaches, it's not just teachers or administrators, it's all of us to come together and have that conversation about doing that, creating strong young people, whether that's male, female, but also especially our young women who we know face so many more challenges in the space.
Absolutely. And I know that's something we work on too with the women's leadership team at the NFHS. So how can we get that messaging out there to our large audience? Because that's so important. And really kind of the final question here, as you talked about both your kind of younger experience and now, did you have an individual that you felt really kind of shaped kind of who you are and what your passion for this area?
I'm going to talk about two people. I think one is my mom. And not in terms of shaping my passion for this, for sport or anything like that. I'm the only athlete in our family, one of five children, which when I tell people, they're like, oh, really? That's strange, right? Because it's not normal. Most times you have everyone's an athlete or most people. And but her, the way that she conducted her life, the leader that she was a stay-at-home mom. But did so many things at our school to volunteer to make the world around her better. I think I learned a lot from her and her allowing me to explore things that maybe weren't the norm in our family. Like I said, she really didn't have a lot of opportunities to participate in sport. My older brother didn't do sport. It just wasn't his thing. And so when I came home and asked to do that, she supported me. I don't know that there was a time where she told me no, that you can't do that. And sometimes it meant getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to take me to a volleyball tournament an hour and a half away or whatever that might be as I got older. And so just her willingness to give up some things in her life, whether that was time, money, resources, to allow me to explore the things that I wanted to and my passions. I wouldn't be sitting in this seat right now if it wasn't for my mom. And for so many reasons, I started out, like I said, my career as an athletic administrator, very young. It was my first job out of college. And without her helping me with my children, that also, you know, I think that's a huge component for females staying in and doing things that require a lot of time away from the home. Knowing that I had her support, there was nobody better to be with my kids. And I feel very fortunate because I know not everybody has the ability, whether they don't live near them, the person's not able, whatever the reasons might be. So I feel like I would not be sitting in this seat today if it wasn't for my mom being the person that she is and teaching me the things she did as a child and then also supporting me through my career, even to this day. And then just a coach. I had a coach in middle school who was just so demanding. And, you know, I thank her for that. I know her now as an adult. She actually teaches in the school my kids go to now. And so we've grown a new relationship as adults. And she's, you know, just so proud to see the career progression that I have had. But the way that she trained us, the expectations that she had for us, you know, we're middle school volleyball players and club wasn't a thing then. So you really didn't play before you got to middle school. And her having such high expectations, I think, is really, even to this day, what shapes me. I demand of myself, of others around me. And I just think that without her at that age, I may not have turned out to be the athlete that I was, the coach and administrator. So
I feel like that hits perfectly on the it takes a village, because you had both the family side and then the activity side. That's so important, that leadership role. Great. Well, thank you. So now just kind of to conclude our interview, we like to just do kind of a rapid fire this or that question, a series of questions just to get to know you better. They're just kind of fun questions to end the interview. So first thing that comes to mind, pie or cake?
Cake.
Coke or Pepsi?
See, that's a good question. I'm all about a good sale. People will tell me that's crazy. You should have one or the other. I will buy what's on sale and drink either. If both were in front of me right now, I'd probably take the Diet Coke. But, you know, there's a chance I'm feeling like a Pepsi today. So
then it doesn't matter. Diet drink, the diet drink or the real stuff. You're good with either.
Correct. So when they, I mean, I don't like Diet Right. So when they offer you like a Diet Right instead of a Diet Coke or a Diet Pepsi, I'm like, eh. But if they say Coke or Pepsi and you've asked for a Coke, either one's fine.
Love that. Sunset or sunrise?
This one also is a good one. I would like to say sunrise, but I am not a morning person. A beautiful sunrise is amazing. So I have to say sunset just because I have seen many more sunsets than I have seen sunrises.
Same. Although I'm sure that's about to change for me in April.
Oh, yes.
mountain or beach?
Oof. Man, there's like both. Is that, can I, but if I guess yeah, if you had to, if I had to choose, I'd be on a beach.
Okay. Okay. Dog or cat?
Dog.
Do you have dogs?
I have three. I had two. And for everyone listening, I live in Indy during the week. I go home to Illinois on the weekends. And so I got a dog for here in Indy. Unbeknownst to me, he gets carsick. So in and of itself, having a dog that I need to travel that gets carsick is not good. And he's had a couple of extended periods of time with his sisters in Illinois. And now we believe that they both, my dog and the other two, get depressed when they're not together. So he is now going to live full time in Illinois. So I have three dogs.
That is impressive. Yeah. Love that. Christmas or Thanksgiving?
Christmas, for sure. As I love to give.
And tea or coffee?
Oof, coffee. Unless you can count chai as a tea, because that's what I would get from Starbucks. But I will drink. That's the only type of tea I like. I don't like an herbal tea. I don't like any other. So, coffee.
Okay. And last question. This one actually I'm kind of torn on for myself. Window or aisle seat?
Whew. Typically window, but I like to be in the exit row and there's not an outside like armrest. So that always, it's like, then I can't lean if there's somebody in the middle seat. So, you know, but usually the window.
That one can be pretty divisive, I know, depending on the flight and the length. And
it's just not middle, I guess. Can I just say not the middle seat?
I think we can all agree on that.
I think we can.
Oh, well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I know the listeners will get a lot of value out of this, for your insights and things that we can do personally in our own lives to help kind of empower and support female athletics.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you inviting me on and the work that you guys are doing around this conversation of women in sport. It truly is tremendous and impactful to everyone.
Thank you very much.